This conference will now be recorded.
All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Accessibility Technical Advisory Committee meeting of June 16th, 2025. Couple of quick logistical things. Please keep your devices on mute. If you're using a phone, do not put yourself on hold. Please wait to speak until invited to do so by me at the appropriate times, and please use the raise hand icon if you do wish to speak at those appropriate times. Please state your name each time you speak, and of course, TAC members when making and seconding motions. All right, well, let's determine our quorum. It's hard for me not to say Commissioner Gross. Jeff?
I'm here, Jeff.
All right, Commissioner Gar?
Here.
Right, my understanding is that Jack Humber will not be here, but I'll just check, Jack. Okay. Laurel Martin?
Here.
Very good. Sharon McNardy?
She's no longer on the TAC.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that's another one I need to fix on my list. Thank you. Barb Page? Commissioner Schiffer.
Come on.
And Commissioner Schilling?
Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
Very good. Larry Schneider? All right, I believe that we just squeaked the quorum. I'm going to double check. Unfortunately, with eight members, you still need five. So, Commissioner, let's see. Let me check with Barb Page or Larry Schneider. So we have one, two, three. We have five of eight. So that's our quorum. So we're ready to roll forward. From DBPR, we have Alan Burke, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Norma Donnie, Marlita Peters, Chip Sellers, and Justin Vogel. And I'm Jeff Blair, the commission's facilitator. So today's agenda is to approve the agenda in minutes and then to provide the commission with your recommendations on code amendments submitted for the 9th edition 2026 Florida Building Code. So unless there's any questions, I'd ask for a motion and a second by name for the agenda approval, please.
Schiffer will move.
Schilling, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, you have had an opportunity to see the September 12, 2024 meeting minutes posted electronically. Unless there's any revisions or additions, is there a motion to accept those as posted?
Yep. Schilling, so moved.
Schiffer will second.
Motion and a second from our illustrious combination of Schilling and Schiffer. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It is unanimous. All right, Jim, if you'd allow me please to share screen. Okay. And I presume you're seeing my in proper formation, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so the process is obviously I'll serve as the moderator, do the motions, etc. Public comment is, as always, limited 3 minutes per person. TAC members, of course, are free to ask questions. For these virtual meetings, please use the raise hand icon if you wish to comment at the appropriate time. Proponents and opponents that don't wish to speak but would still like to convey where they are, you can use the thumbs up icon either when we're asking for folks in favor or in opposition at the appropriate time. Don't need that. There'll be there'll be a motion to approve standing findings. It's not a standing motion, but it's the findings that would be applied to all of your proposals or motions to approve. Proponent will have an opportunity to speak first. They should identify whether they're speaking to the original or an alternate, and if so, which one, so that everybody's on the same page, no pun intended. Then opponents, and then there'd be one collective opportunity for each side. Attack member who's been assigned to review it will provide a very brief summary and their recommended action in the form of a motion, and then we'll take a second and discuss and vote. They all must be voted on individually, either to approve or to deny, with a second, of course. Motions require a two-thirds favorable vote. We ask for folks not to make changes during the meeting, but the proponent is free to take up any particular comments they heard from the TAC and bring it forth for round two in October. These are the TAC preliminary recommendations. There's another opportunity. If a TAC member does decide to make one, then they would have to be, they become the proponent, and you need to take responsibility for all the findings that the proponent would have had to do. I'll read a standing motion, and that is what I will do now. And let's see. Okay, the Technical Advisory Committee moves that for all motions made to approve a proposed code amendment, the Technical Advisory Committee votes to recommend that the Commission approve the amendment based on the following findings. The amendment is needed in order to accommodate the specific needs of this day, and the amendment has a reasonable and substantial connection to the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, and the amendment strengthens or improves the Florida Building Code, or in the case of innovation or new technology, will provide equivalent or better products or methods or systems of construction, and the amendment does not discriminate against materials, products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities, and the amendment does not degrade the effectiveness of the Florida Building Code, and the amendment has the following fiscal impact relative to the costs and benefits of the proposed amendment. There's four: the fiscal impact relative to enforcement imposed upon local government is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon property and building owners is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact relative to compliance imposed upon industry is as indicated by the proponent. And the amendment must demonstrate by evidence or data that the state's geographical jurisdiction exhibits a need to strengthen the code beyond the needs or regional variations addressed by the code and why the proposed amendment applies to this state. And then the amendment benefits noted with regard to fiscal impact and efficacy outweigh the costs imposed. And finally, the amendment does not diminish the requirements related to wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion contained in the code or its referenced standards and criteria. I would ask for a motion, please, to approve the amendment, the standing findings by name.
Schiffer will do that.
Okay. Second, please.
Schilling will second.
Motion and a second to approve the standing findings. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, we will move on to the next, our main reason, which is to provide the Commission with your recommendation on post-code amendments for the ninth edition. And before I start with the only one that we have, I'm going to turn it to Mo to provide orientation to our documentation. Mo?
Hey, Jim, can you share the screen, please? Can you see my screen?
Yes.
All right. From the agenda, item number 4 on the agenda, you should be able to click on the link and they'll take you to this page. This is really a matrix which has all the proposed code changes submitted under step 2 and mainly distributed throughout the TAC as applicable. For That's visibility. You see there's the agenda, there's a detail report, and there's a tracking chart. And also there is some local technical amendments, or actual some local amendments that need to be taken up. With regard to the tracking chart, a tracking chart is similar to the one you've seen before. It merely provides you with the summary of the code change, the number, and a way to record the action of the tag. That's something you can use and there for you. Also, staff will be using the tracking chart to record your actions, tag actions on it. The report that we'll be using to review these code changes, or the code change, actually you have only one, which is the detail report. As you see, the detail report, it says that you have one code change to review. It has to do with the building code. It does tell you the number, 11993, tells you who submitted, and also it tells you whether there's a general comment or alternate language submitted on it, and for this mod, there is none submitted, no general language or alternate language. It does also give you a summary of the mod, the rationale, the physical impact statement, and those questions that Jeff went through earlier, and also it'll go into the text of the mod, which is the proposed change. Any question on the detail report and the organization? If not, Jeff, take it from here.
All right, thank you, Mo. Well, we only have one regular amendment. That's 11993. This amendment was submitted by Jim Schock, who will have an opportunity to present it. Mo, just confirm it. I believe this was taken up by the code admin, correct?
Yes, sir, and it was denied, yes.
Right. Okay. And they're the primary on this one, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Very good. Okay, then, Jim, I see you're here. If you'd like to speak, go ahead and take your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Sorry for being the only person or the only mod here that made all you guys meet, but I always like talking to my friends in the commission and the tax. As you may know, I represent the disabled community on the building commission, and as such, I'm a member of a housing committee for the Council for Independent Living. One of the things that we received comments on through that committee was a concern by a number of people who have had difficulty getting permits for ramps and minor modifications to one and two family dwellings, to the extent where in some cases they even had to delay coming home from rehab, waiting on getting appropriate permits and so forth. So this code change, now I'm going to read it to you real quick because it's pretty simple. It's in the exemption for permits, and it states renovations of existing residential one and two family dwellings, providing access to the or path of travel through the dwelling to provide for an accessible route, shall not require a permit unless it involves renovation of an existing bearing wall. So what this basically does, it doesn't exempt the FAR building code, which is the beginning of this section of 105.2. It just exempts it from permitting. So where it does apply, it would still apply. However, in the one and two family dwelling code, the only accessibility issue that applies is the 29-inch door for a bathroom door, clear width. And the other areas for the dwelling codes do not cover accessibility. Unless Mo mentioned this morning, unless it's a 504 structure, which then actually is covered by HUD regulations anyway.
Hey, Jim, just wanted to let you know you've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, which is covered by HUD regulations anyway. So I believe this, and in full disclosure this morning, it did fail, but it failed by a vote of 5-3, 5 being in agreement. It just didn't quite meet at 66%. So there's an acknowledgement by the community, it seems like, that yes, we need to do something. And so that's my proposal. I hope you can support it. And that's all I have for that, unless there's any questions.
All right, thanks, Jim. Does anybody else in the public wish to speak either in favor, or it doesn't actually look like we have any public. I might have a couple. Okay, let's see whose hands am I seeing up here. Okay, Shane, you want to speak in favor or opposition?
Speak in favor, please.
Go ahead then, sir.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Shane Gerwig here. I'm actually on behalf of myself on this one as far as Ed Air is concerned. And, you know, I've seen this particular amendment coming through the process and everything. Wasn't a great deal of attention brought to it. However, in the Code Admin Act this morning, Jim brought up Commissioner Schock brought up something that really, really, kind of surprised me and everything like that. It really made me want to support this thing. And whenever you mentioned about the delays coming home from rehab and delays coming home from, you know, anything related to medical and everything, because of the delay in permitting, all over something that doesn't really impact the building code anyway, as far as today is concerned. It doesn't degrade, do anything to make the building less safe or anything. All it's doing is just not requiring a permit for some of these fixes as far as ACARE is concerned. So in my opinion, if we're doing something to fix this, maybe just widen some doors and that kind of thing, I think it's a really good idea to remove all the obstacles if they can, because, I mean, you know, the folks that would be applying for something like this is going to be some of our most vulnerable anyway. So I definitely recommend support, and I would like to text to support this one. Again, I'm on this one on behalf of myself. There's no representation on this right here. It is a good and everything to really support some of our most vulnerable in the state of Florida. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Shane. Scott, are you speaking in support as well?
No, opposed.
I don't see anybody else on there, so I will now turn to those who are speaking in opposition. Scott, go ahead.
Yes, Scott McAdam, representing DOAF. And again, just to indicate what happened this morning, during the code admin, there were actually two motions made and, you know, ended up being denied. A lot of good things came up in that meeting, and I think Jim took a lot of information from what was said. I think it needs a little work. We discussed about how it could have some conflicts with the accessibility code. We talked about the wording in there that he has about unless it affects a structural wall. Many times it affects a bunch of different things. I respect what Shane's indicating, and I think where Shane's going to is maybe a possible requirement for expedited review and permit issuance, like they do for some affordable housing and so forth. If that's the main concern, the building department should be able to get these permits out expeditiously. But I think Jim's going to take it back and come to phase two. And, you know, BOAF, we'd love to work with them on the wording. And part of BOAF's suggestion was maybe it really needs to be in the existing building code, but I can understand this is in the admin for the building code related to permit exemption. But I think it needs a little work, and I think the primary TAC code admin disapproved it, so I think the second phase would be best for this proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else in public? Jim, since there was someone in opposition, I wouldn't really call it against it per se. Did you wish a rebuttal?
No, I think pretty much covered it.
Great. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you. Okay, Ben, I'm going to come to the TAC now. Just a reminder, as Mo indicated, the code administration TAC is the primary TAC. They took it up this morning and did deny it. You heard from the public on the reasons and all that. Jeff, you are the person who was tasked with this one. If you would just give a very brief summary, I think we heard it, but then provide your recommendation in the form of a motion for either approval or denial, and we'll go from there. Jeff?
Yeah, I got a question for legal. In the past, we've been told that we couldn't do any changes to the accessibility code except through legislation, but this appears not to be a code requirement, it's a permitting requirement. Is there any legal aspect on this? I guess that question is Justin.
Yeah, Justin.
Right. I've been looking through the statute. I haven't really identified anything that would prohibit this, since this isn't dealing with technical issues. I had had a conversation with Mo about some provisions relating to local enforcement authorities having the ability to exempt certain aspects of single-family residence construction from the code. But on second look at that, it doesn't involve permitting per se. So I haven't identified anything that would stop the commission from doing this, is the short answer. I am still looking into it, though.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you. In that case, I'd recommend approval of this.
All right, we have a motion for approval. Is there a second?
A little second.
We have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Is there a second?
Schiffer.
Thank you.
All right, seeing no discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? All right, it's the unanimous for approval as submitted. All right, so now we're going to go to the local technical amendments. Let me just give you a quick overview. Local jurisdictions are required to submit their local technical amendments to the commission for regional or statewide approval every 3 years concurrent with the code cycle. Since the adoption of the first edition of the code in 2001, commission has never approved a local technical amendment for regional or statewide use, essentially on the rationale that if an amendment is needed for statewide use, any stakeholder is free to propose it during any code update cycle. Then with denial of the local technical amendment by the commission, it's repealed at the local level, and the local jurisdiction would need to readopt if they want to maintain the provision for local use. With this in mind, we should proceed quickly. I'll just ask if anybody from the public wants to speak, and then come right back to the TAC for a quick motion and a second for denial. There's no reason to discuss these in any way, shape, or form, and then take the vote, and then we can dispose of these. Okay, so we have and where did I put it? here they are. okay, give me a second here. There we go. All right, we have the City of Jacksonville. Is there anybody from the public wish to speak? Hearing none, come to the TAC for a motion. It should be a motion for denial. TAC members? Need a TAC member to make the motion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Schiffer will second.
Who made the first?
Oh, I don't know. I'll take the first.
We'll do the first.
Thank you. All right, the motion and the second for denial. Seeing no discussion, all in favor say yes. Aye.
Aye.
Tricked you. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Next is the County of Jacksonville. Is there anybody from the public who wants to speak on that? Seeing none, I come to the TAC for a motion again. Brad?
Yeah, Schiffer moves.
Niall?
Yep. Schilling,
Brad. All right, Brad, that was your motion denial, correct?
Yes.
Okay, motion and second for denial. Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous, so they were both recommended for denial. I don't believe there's any additional amendments. Is there any other public comment or PAC member comment? If not, I will turn it to Chair Jeff Gross. Yes.
Justin, I don't know if you noted, but Ms. Page seems to have joined the call. She was on prior to the vote on the one code bond.
Okay. I did not, but thank you for. So that would change the vote to 6 then. Thank you. Okay.
This is Barb. I'm sorry I'm late to the meeting. I'm having technical issues. I'm hoping to be able to stay on the full time.
Okay. Well, actually, we're done now, so.
Okay.
You're good.
Yeah, thanks Jeff Gross. Thanks, Barb, for trying. For that, we'll move to adjourn.
Just say we stand adjourned.
Oh, we stand adjourned. I'm sorry. Yeah, we stand adjourned. You don't have to vote for it. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Bye.